you. All right, so I represent Geek Mom, as you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a parenting blog for by and for geek related people. So the question we always start with is, do you consider yourself a geek?
Completely. Yes.
In what ways? Like, what kinds of things do you like? Media or games or?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I grew up as an only child, and I love to read, and I love stories and storytelling, and so I loved comic books, and I loved films, and I loved exploring all those things on my own, and I continue to do them, but thanks to social media and conventions like this, I'm able to find like-minded people and celebrate those things with them, and I just love it. I'm a huge fan of Marvel. I'm a huge fan of Star Wars, and I love some of the family dynamics that they explore, and the hero's journey and stuff like that, where people are called to action, and I love growing personally through watching those transformations happen and the healing that occurs. And so it's like kind of a deeply spiritual thing at the same time as it's a highly nerdy activity.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah. That's great. It's funny, as you're an only child, and I have three brothers, and it's like the opposite, but yeah. I have the same, like, I really gravitate to the family dynamics of all of these kinds of things. Which brings us to Star Wars, which I consider to be all about ensembles and families. Like,
yes,
it's very, like, you know, it's no one can do it alone, and you have to find your little group of people. Mm-hmm. And especially Star Wars Rebels, I feel, is all about found family. Mm-hmm. And what I really like is that Hera is the mom figure, which is something that is sort of missing from Star Wars up until then.
Sure.
Because even though, like, we had mothers like Padme, you know, she died immediately after giving birth, and we never get to see Leia as a mom actually on screen. It's just sort of in theory. Yeah. But Hera is also, and they're not very mothering types, whereas Hera is very mothering to even people who wouldn't necessarily be her children, like Zeb.
Right, sure.
So I was just wondering, like, how do you see her in that role as space mom?
Yeah, I very much think she is sort of the mother of the crew. And I love that she's not Spectre 1, but Spectre 2. And to have the humility to know that she should be Spectre 2, of course, because if caught, she wouldn't know anything. And she knows that Kanan's character literally didn't know much about anything. But anyway, so not only is she nurturing and maternal, but she's also quite shrewd. Mm-hmm. And really running the show behind the scenes with all the inside information, particularly in season one when she knows what Fulcrum's plan is and no one else in the crew does, and they sort of follow her blindly, to when, you know, they make major strides, and they, obviously we see Ahsoka at the end of season one, that they become sort of more organized and militaristic, and she gets a promotion. But I think it's not just sort of basic maternal nurturing. There's also an element of leadership and strength in her. Not that there isn't that in motherhood, but I love how she manages to really round that softness out with the ability to really get things done and to focus, to not take things personally, to keep her word, ethical things that in my own life I appreciate and try to maintain with my friends. And she has that same kind of respect and loyalty and humility, as I said, that I think are really noble and make her not just a good female character, but just a great character for anyone to identify with. And it was an honor to play such an iconic female role in that sense.
Yeah, that's great. I watch the show with my daughters, and we love all of the characters, but it was very exciting to me when I saw the first episode, and I just fell in love with her immediately. And I've loved Star Wars since I was 7, so
yeah, exactly.
It was like, oh my gosh, this is a character that I can really, you know, relate to and get invested in. And one of the strange things that I've realized about Star Wars is that no one is actually raised by their birth parents. It's a weird thing where it's all about fractured families.
Exactly.
And then finding, you know, that in someone else. And so I wonder if you have any thoughts on found family and the ensemble and how you put that together, like,
as an only child, I can really identify with that. One of the things that they really stressed when we first got together for our first recording was how sometimes chosen family bonds can be stronger than blood. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what we have in this ragtag crew, as they go on these adventures and you know, fight for good and not evil together, and sort of, I mean, you find that in a number of different stories, but I think with them in particular, Lucasfilm really did stress that initially and the value of that. And I think it applies to where we are in our world today. I know I sort of feel that way when I go to conventions and I, again, see and meet like-minded people. I sort of feel like I found my tribe, and it means everything. There seems to be a yearning for that that's quite basic to most people, and I think one of the great aspects of Star Wars Rebels was the fact that these characters provided a family for all of us to join in a way and feel close to and look forward to seeing weekly, or, you know, they sort of rolled out the episodes differently as the seasons went on. But I'm grateful that they did that, and I thought it was very wise. And it was fun to be, again, the space mom in that dynamic.
Yeah. I love the idea that conventions are bring that to us. That's a great insight.
It feels that way.
Yeah,
instantly comfortable, and I mean, I've only been here less than 24 hours. I feel like I've been here a week. That's what it's like. It's almost like summer camp or something. And I don't know if it's because my inner child, or like there's just a part of me that's just so happy and relaxed. I feel safe, mm-hmm. And I can celebrate everything I look at. Everything is so much fun to see. Even things that I don't know much about, some of the fandoms, I'm like, wait, whoa, what is that? You know, I play Madden football and hockey. So I'm not well versed in, and I've been in a number of video games, Mass Effect, mm-hmm, right. Metal Gear Solid, SOCOM, all kinds of amazing video games, and no clue how to play, and some of the characters, when I see them, I'm not even sure what they are, but it's so much fun to learn. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There are so many, like, I feel I've been going to conventions since I was, you know, in college, and it's amazing to see how much it's grown and how many different people with so many different, like, I used to be one of the few people who dressed up, and now it's like everybody. It's so wonderful. I just love it.
Yeah.
And I love bringing my kids. I think as a safe space, that's a really good way of putting it. I like it. So do you have any thoughts about how Jason Hare's son would be raised?
I have nothing but I just have a ton of questions.
I have so many questions.
And I hope and pray that Dave Filoni explores that and gives us that content. I really do, because I would love to know.
Yeah.
I have no idea, and I didn't even know that was happening.
Right, because she
doesn't
speak. So.
Well, but and also, they didn't reveal that until we watched the episode live with the fans. So we all learned about it at the same time.
That must have been a wonderful experience.
It was insane. And then I had to speak intelligently on a panel after watching it, and I didn't even know who I was because, that's pretty intense. That she, I mean, he's a Jedi. Where are the Leku? How does it even work? When did it happen? Jason spelled with a C, an ode to, you know.
The Earth.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Legends,
So I really, really hope that Dave Filoni answers all of those questions for us soon. Yeah.
You also voiced a lot of superheroes, mm-hmm. And you said that you read comics. And uh-huh. Do you have any favorites, or what's the experience of being a superhero for?
Well, playing Wonder Woman was sublime. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had the underoos, and my mom, she was on Dallas at Knott's Landing, and she, very early in her career, was on Wonder Woman with Ted Shackelford. And if you can Google it, I kind of highly recommend it. For the outfits alone, they're somewhere in outer space wearing like spandex silver bodysuits. It's so epic. It's awesome. So that kind of scared me as a child to see that. But other than that, Linda Carter really gave me the will to live a lot of the times. And so to play Wonder Woman in a cartoon was a huge honor. I'm a massive fan of Susan Eisenberg, who for me is always Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wait, why are they even hiring me? Not to say bad things about myself, but truly she's just so wonderful as Wonder Woman. I love her. But that's one of the things, like I was Black Widow in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and then Disney bought Marvel, and now they have the ongoing Avengers series on Disney XD, and I'm not playing Black Widow anymore, but mm-hmm. with some of these comic book characters, I mean, there have been many versions of Peter Parker. I think we all are able to sort of lift up these hugely significant characters in a way that is perhaps unique to our own life experience, but we get the basic gist of them. And in a weird way, I almost feel like these archetypes exist in all of us, and voiceover actors are able to kind of get out of the way and let those best parts of themselves be revealed. I mean, maybe it's different for on camera, but that's how it feels doing it at the microphone, is just let my brain shut off and get out of the way so that I can let my inner Wonder Woman manifest right now. And that was my experience, and it was really wild to discover that I had that kind of strength in me. So it was great.
That's wonderful. Do you, how about villains? Do you like playing villains?
I'm trying to think if I've played any. No, it's so funny.
Would you like to?
Sure. I'm such a nerd. I'm whenever people would move into my neighborhood, I would go bring them cookies. And when I graduated, I went to Princeton and I majored in English and got a master's in acting at NYU, mm-hmm. came back to Los Angeles, and I was about 70 pounds heavier than I am. So in the acting world at that point, if you weren't anorexic, I mean, those rules still apply somewhat mm-hmm. today, but I mean, Melissa McCarthy and certain people have made it okay to be exactly who you are, which is so wonderful and empowering. But back in the 90s, that was not so much the case. I wasn't greeted with a wealth of opportunities, mm-hmm. so I found shelter in doing voiceover and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay. And then you said you do a lot of games. Is it the same process?
No, it's actually quite different. For most animated series, we are together as a group,
as a cast.
And it's more sort of like a radio play. Mm-hmm. We're able to interact off of each other. But with video games, like I played Janors in Knights of the Republic for Star Wars. I believe that's the title is much longer than that, actually. But I was by myself the entire time, and it's so crazy because when I see the gameplay, the way they edit it together, you would never know that I was in a room by myself. It really does seem like everyone's interacting with each other. So it almost requires more imagination to sort of imagine how the line previous to yours was being said or what you're being given in that moment. I always hoped that my reaction would be an appropriate counter to whatever the person did who was coming in at 3 o'clock. let's sort of hope for the best and try and give them a number of different versions that could, edit well together with whatever was being offered by the other actor. But it was kind of a lonely experience, but it was also fun to be imaginative and playful and discover it. So they're both a lot of fun.
In their own way.
Yeah, exactly.
And you say you played some sports games. What video games do you play? Just sports, or do you branch out?
No, Freddie Prinze Jr. wanted me to play Grand Theft Auto with him. So I went and got the latest Xbox, and I put in the game, and the opening scene is like a bank robbery, mm-hmm. and there's all sorts of violent things going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of murder.
And I texted him and I was like, my man, maybe you with a wife and kids and a great alarm system feel really cool about playing this game, but I'm trying to believe that people are intrinsically good, that somehow they're maligned in childhood, and you know, Anakin Skywalker wasn't necessarily Darth Vader. There's a backstory. Everyone has a story. And I was struggling to find the sort of redemption or the, you know, that just was not fun to me. And I'm not saying that he's a celebrates violence in any way, but I think he's better able to detach from that sector of humanity, mm-hmm. where there's sort of violence and evil. I don't know. I tend not to read for narration jobs that are like, these are 12 serial killers who, you know, put women in bags. Or it's like, oh, I am not going to read that. Not that I'm denying it exists, but I can't focus on that. I really want to believe that we all want to come together and heal. I think that's why I love conventions, is because even though there are Sith and there are Jedi, we agree to disagree and we're respectful of one another. And that means everything to me. That, again, safety is important. And so some of those video games just scare me. I don't know. Maybe if there was like a My Little Pony game, I would play something to take the edge off. I feel like life is ridiculous enough as it is. I love team sports. I've lost mm-hmm. 70 pounds, and I'm a martial artist, and I love boxing. If I could move into the gym, I would. They call me the mayor of the gym. Because I greet everyone on the treadmill. I talk to everybody. I love, that's my other tribe.
Uh-huh.
There's goodness there, and so I go and seek that out. Again, I think sort of if there was like maybe a healthy video game.
Wii Fit.
Huh?
Wii Fit.
Wii Fit, there you go. Yeah, I'd probably play that, but I end up having more fun playing group games like football and hockey as opposed to the single player games.
Right.
That tend to have a lot more violence and stuff like that. So.
All right. Now I have three questions that are from kids.
Oh, they're, very cool. Awesome.
I think the ages were 8 to 12.
Excellent.
So the first one is, it's a three-parter mm-hmm. for number one, which is, how do you act with just a voice? Do you drink a lot of water? And can you wear your pajamas?
Oh my gosh, those are awesome questions. Well, the cool thing, I'm thinking specifically of the audition that I did for Gamora for Guardians of the mm-hmm. Galaxy. What is so cool about only acting with your voice is that I can create a soundscape. I have a studio in my home. I can create a soundscape that is going to elicit images in your mind that only you can see. Other people may have a different experience, but I love creating soundscapes. And some people would say, but I need to wink or I need to raise an eyebrow and I feel so, you know, hamstrung that I can't indicate things with my lip curl or whatever it is that you would see on camera.
Yeah.
But I can exhale and I can pause. And there are things that I can do with my voice that I can create certain nuances that I don't know you would hear those mm-hmm. if I were on camera. You know, if you have a lav mic, you can't hear the sorrow in my voice as much as you can if there's a microphone in front of my face that's like an ear, human ear in front of my face. And I know when I did the Gamora audition, I know I created a soundscape. I was like, you know what? I may not book that job, but that sounded really interesting because I could see her scaling the side of this building and I saw it in my mind's eye and I respected the audition and sent it off and then I ended up booking it out. And I said, you know, it's probably because I really took the time to create dimension and activity, even though it was just a sound file. I drink a ton of water. I drink 3 of the 1.5 liters a day at least. Mm-hmm. What was the final one?
Can you wear your pajamas?
Yes, at home, in my home studio. I tend to like to get dressed because then I feel like I'm going to work and it sort of gets the...
It's the work at home.
Yeah, if I'm in my pajamas, I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. It helps me look alive and be more present. I think if I've taken a shower and I'm respectably dressed, even though I am home. But worst case scenario, not a big deal if you're in your pajamas. And in fact, they probably wouldn't care if you wore your pajamas to an actual job either. They'd probably think it was hilarious. So there's a lot of leeway there. You don't have to wait for hair and makeup, no lighting. There's a lot of upsides to the world of voiceover. PJs are one of them.
All right, the next one is, you have to switch characters with one other actor in Rebels. So they do Hera and you do their character. Who do you pick?
I would love Sabine. Sabine's my favorite character. I'm a huge Mandalorian nerd. Mm-hmm. And so she's just the coolest character. I love how she expresses herself through her art and her painting. And she also manages to be so strong and yet so vulnerable at the same time. There's such a strength in that. And I don't think I could do it as well as Tia does it, because she's just, it's kind of who she is as a person. She's so lovely and such a wonderful, wonderful person. But she's my other favorite character. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. And finally, what's your motto?
Wow.
I know.
Be kind.
Kids stump you.
Be kind. Yeah. Just be kind. Honestly.
That's a good one.
I say that every morning. I mean, I say it to myself, and I hope it, you know, that's sort of my prayer for the world, that I'm kind to myself, because I think a lot of women are really just exposed to all sorts of things that tell us that we're not okay as we are, that, you know, when we get there, we're going to be all right. And there's a cruelty to that, I think, that is just, you know, not fair. And I see kids getting bullied, and it breaks my heart. We did a panel yesterday. There was a girl who said, how do you learn to love your voice? And her voice, there was nothing wrong with her voice. And she said that someone had said on social media that she has the voice of suicide, I believe. Like, in other words, that she just sounds like suicide. And my heart broke to hear that. That is a terrible thing to say. And I know there are a collection of sentences that I've gathered throughout my life that I have a hard time unhearing. And they do permanent damage. And I can continue to perpetrate that on myself by repeating those sentences, wondering if they're true. Wait, that guy said this. Is that, oh no, you know. I hope to be kind to myself and others.
That's wonderful for this day and age. Let me just say, it's a great motto, and I think we should spread it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. If you have anything more to say to our group, then...
the DVD Blu-ray is going to be released July 31st for Star Wars Rebels Season 4. There are all kinds of really great features, behind-the-scenes interviews. Excellent. And stuff like that. And Dave Filoni does a lot of commentary. So I can't wait to get my copy of that. There's Forces of Destiny that's going to continue to play on the Disney YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. And I love that Hera was with Han Solo. That was, like, my favorite.
That was crazy. Like, that was insane. When I read that episode, I lost my mind. There are a few other announcements that should be coming up soon for other cartoons that I'm doing, other games that I'm doing, like big, huge franchises. I wish I could tell all of you, but you can find me on social media at Van Marshall on Twitter and on Instagram at Vanessa Marshall 1138. The number's 1138.
1138. All right. Thank you. It was wonderful speaking with you.
Nice to meet you. Yes. Yeah, great questions. Thank you. That was awesome.